today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
One of the things that's good, by the way, it's good on a lot of diets, but it is a fatty food, but it's something that's supposed to be good for you. Avocado. The avocado is my friend.
I had it didn't ever work out, but a meeting with avocados from Mexico about a podcast.
I'll do it.
That was 2 years ago. I think that ship has sailed.
Buenos noches. Me llamo Miguel. Yo estoy avocado. There's your eBay. Look.
Oh,
there's your cheesy
Leave him a bad review, Mike.
We'll
really burn him.
Yeah,
I will. I think I will. I'll show that.
And you know what you should do? If you can still do like a little headline for a review, put trouble, ? Absolutely.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
I'll be honest with you. I have to be honest with our listening audience. It is tougher to do this show over these last couple of days than it's been in a long, long time. I have had a real difficult time thinking about how to come in here and bounce off the walls and be happy, happy, joy, joy. So I think it's really important that what I'm going to do is when I'm coming in and I'm feeling like a little sleep deprived because I was watching the news last night, I'm just going to tell you, and then we'll get on with the silliness and the funniness because it still exists. I think it's important to point out that I'd like to get one beef off of my chest yesterday. Now, eBay is to me like Craigslist and any of those areas where you kind of take your chance. Even if you got all sorts of five-star ratings and all this, you take your chance.
Yeah.
Now, as many in our listening audience will know, my wife and I, specifically me, we are addicted to the board game Trouble.
Yes.
And we played Trouble to the extent where the Pop-O-Matic dice roller was so tarnished by fingers and scrape. I guess after a long time of just regular finger touching on the Pop-O-Matic, the numbers are obscured. You can't see the die.
Mike, the thing is, your hands are rough from years of work. They're war clubs.
These are stevedore hands.
These
hands have done more probably real manual labor than anybody in this room. I'll guarantee you that.
Absolutely.
I win the award with tobacco picking.
Yes.
Even if it was for a brief period of time.
How long
tobacco
exactly?
picking? 2 weeks, and I probably am stretching when I said I gave my notice. I was 15.
Yeah.
I was 15 years old, and they gave me a wedgie and hung me from a branch.
Yeah,
and they paid you. Didn't they pay you in cigarettes?
No, they did not pay me. I'll tell you one thing about tobacco picking.
Yeah.
So these are one of the, just add this to the list of things that I love so much about that job, where. This was not a job where my parents made me go to work. This was something that in my hometown, in my neighborhood, it was done. You went to work for Duffer Construction in their tobacco fields. And there were some kids in my town that worked shade grown. And shade grown was
better
you
job.
Were treated better because it was an organized Hispanic labor force that was treated better, much more adult. Whereas broadleaf tobacco was send the kids out into the field and have them pick the broadleaf tobacco plant. But little details that I think I've shared because I've always been kind of intrigued with this. Yes, tobacco.
The final frontier.
By the way, shade grown tobacco, was it the I think the broadleaf was the wrapper for cigars, like all around the world.
Yeah,
Connecticut.
That makes sense.
But Connecticut shade, I think, was a filler, but I don't know. Don't ask
when,
me if
when you
I'm
decided
wrong, I'm
to
wrong.
Go into the cash crop business.
Yes,
tobacco was just your first choice because it was easy.
Tobacco
to
Valley. I lived in the Tobacco Valley. Connecticut. You think Connecticut, which is all Martha Stewart, and no, that's down in the southern part of Connecticut where the rich people lived at the suburbs of New York City, mm-hmm. which was an hour, 2 hours away from where I live. The Connecticut Valley was agricultural. Mm-hmm. You had the insurance capital of the world at the time, right. Hartford, which is where my town was located outside. But around that, the crop was primarily corn and tobacco, just like it was when the Native Americans were here, I think. So you
smoke
would go,
and then you shit your brains out.
It's settlers it's settled and then they settled.
So here's the toughest thing. There are two tough things. This happened to me, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
You packed your own lunch, yes. and you went to, I think I was out at the street corner at 5:30 in the morning when I
Did
got
you carry
picked
it
up
in
during
a
the summer. No, a bag, paper bag.
A bag, paper, brown paper bag.
When we would break for lunch, when you picked the tobacco plants, my job was to take the suckers off
yes.
the base of the plant, which got my hands covered with tobacco juice, which is amazingly sticky, stickier than anything you would ever imagine. And to get the stickiness off to continue to work, you reach into the dirt. So by the time lunch would roll around, I would have about a quarter inch
yeah.
caked dirt and then go eat a sandwich in the barn. You go into the shade where the barn was. So that was the first factoid that I got. The second fact was there was a foreman who was supervising all of us. And if you didn't move quick enough, taking the suckers off the plant, he would take the axe handle and he would hit the, because he was cutting the plants
right.
with the axe, and he would tap you, and it really wasn't a tap, on the back. I still remember the feeling where he'd hit a certain spot and you'd get a little numbness in your hands. And it wasn't like real abuse, but it was definitely somewhat abusive.
It was to make you work hard. You know, it's funny that corn and tobacco would be the two crops because, you know, you sucker corn as well.
Oh, okay. You take the weeds off the stalk of the plant, right?
It's an offshoot, usually at the base of the plant, that right? doesn't yield anything useful except zap energy from the plant. So you snap off the suckers so the energy of the plant is all directed towards making corn or making usable tobacco.
Oh, wow.
But it's thankless, horrible
work. So was your
work.
Suckering on your plant done in advance of harvest or right before harvest?
It was done at about...
Because we did it when we were harvesting the tobacco plant. We were just cleaning basically the
stalks. Oh, so yours was a clean... See, when you sucker corn, the corn is usually about a foot tall. Allows the plant to grow stronger and devote more energy to making maize, as my people call it.
Well, Oscar, what was it like when you were working on the coffee plantation?
Well, Mike, it's interesting you ask because we were always paid with that. It was about the weight of the beans, right? So you'd always walk around the plantation.
All about the weight.
And then you'd figure out like which one was a heavier bean, because if you had a light bean, you're just carrying around nothing.
Yeah, right? See, that reminds me of Alton Brown talking about coffee the other day. I was ready to kill him.
Oh, you see, I've never seen that episode.
Oh, you'll love it.
I bet I will.
It's just him making things more complicated than they need to be. So I don't know how I started on this this whole tangent.
Because we were talking about how your hands were so rough that they destroyed your pop-o-matic bubble.
Where does a seersucker suit come from then?
From the land of seersuck.
Okay. I'm just
seersuck. So the pop-o-matic bubble was just so worn that I decided to seek out another trouble game. Now, the modern trouble game, if you're going to get it, get retro trouble. Get the retro game. Do not get the modern one. The modern one is so flimsy and cheap that it's got a legitimate pop-o-matic, but the rest of it is just like basically on a piece of paper. It's not a well-designed game. It's not good.
It's not a big country.
It's not.
Not good. Not good.
Parcheesi could beat the crap out of it in a war. It is not a nice product. So I went to eBay.
Yes.
And I sought out a vintage trouble
game. Ooh, wow.
From the days when I used to play with my grandmother all the time. I realize
this is so cool.
We got along with that, because it's such a great game. It's such a great board game. They need to upgrade that. I think that this game could become a national obsession. How much do you think, Oscar, with your connections,
yes.
your international connections in manufacturing,
right.
how much do you think, what would we have to do to get the rights to a Mike O'Mara board game based on Trouble?
Who's the parent
Identical
company?
Identical to Trouble,
Who's
but just call
company?
It TMO. What's that?
Who's the parent company that owns?
Maybe Parker Brothers.
Parker Brothers would be my guess.
I would say at least $500,000.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So okay. that would have been a good idea. So I ordered on eBay the vintage Trouble.
What if we did something like Trouble? Like we called it like Unhappy. Or yeah,
so vintage should be
Humble.
Something that's as it was.
Humble.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so it was not.
Humble.
As a matter of fact, the first thing, the first question I asked, I said, are the pawns wooden? Are they wooden dolls? Because those are the ones we used to use with Grandmama.
Yeah.
With my Grandmama. And no, they were in a separate Ziploc bag, plastic ones, which were hopped from another Trouble game.
Mm.
That's all they were. Probably stolen in the store.
Yeah.
Pieces, parts. They've hobbled it together.
Then the Pop-O-Matic was brand new.
Ooh.
Like they glued the Pop-O-Matic in. But the question is, boy, if I could get an independent Pop-O-Matic, we could design our own game called the TMOS board game.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
You take the Pop-O-Matic out of the new guy you purchased to put it in the old guy?
Boy, that's an idea.
Yeah, you'd have to take the bottom out because I think it's got a lip all the way around it.
Yeah,
so it would have to be removed from the bottom.
Yeah, but this is not anything to lose. Because
the Pop-O-Matic, the Pop-O-Matic switch that we did, the Pop-O-Matic likes daddy.
All right.
The new one is good for you?
Pop-O-Matic result. Yeah, victory was mine last night.
Nice.
A resounding victory.
Yeah.
And she didn't do her little stuff where she came on at the end of the game like she always does. And she wasn't happy about it either. It was great. It was fantastic. She always calls me the poor sport, which I am. I'm the worst sport in Trouble of anything. Golf, any sport I play. I think both you guys know I've always been a pretty sore loser.
Yes.
And I've never known this to happen. I'm a sore loser and a gracious winner.
I agree that you are a gracious winner.
You're a better winner.
And I would say, Mike, you're not so much a sore loser as a man who is truly driven by competition.
And so when you lose,
it's disappointing to you.
Yeah, I love competition, but I don't love anything more now than Trouble. I'm competitive in a casino. That's why I like playing the games. I'm competitive. I'm that guy. It is sometimes within every fiber of my being not to be that guy that leaves the scratch marks on the slot machines. You know, you'll go to a slot machine, you'll see it's cracked.
Yeah.
Where somebody really just kicked it and was so angry that they got frustrated with it.
F you machine.
It took all of their money. But anyway, so I won last night, and it was a little moment of happiness, but not happy that we didn't get the wooden dowels. The wooden dowels would have been the little pieces.
You took shipment of a replacement game already.
It was a replacement game with kind of an experiment to see what eBay would send me, and eBay's crap. I think eBay people play with stuff all the time, and it's not always really what you're getting.
It's not the way it was 10 years ago. It used to be more of a frontier where you could find and succeed.
Talk amongst yourself. I'll show it to you. I'll show you the
book. Okay. You can buy insurance now on eBay, which is nice.
You mean like insurance, like life insurance, or insurance that the product you get is right? Oh, okay. So you're guaranteed to get what you want. See, I'm not as old as Mike, so my classic Trouble did have plastic pieces. So I don't remember the age of the wooden dowels.
I don't remember wooden games.
If you go far enough back, my mom has a tremendously old Monopoly set where the pieces are not even the metal, like the car and the horse and anything. Those are wooden pawns from Monopoly.
Wow. I brought my spokesmodel.
Oh, Vanna.
Hi, Carla.
Hi.
There, let's get a look at that. Why don't you bring that closer into the camera?
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, I'll hold it up.
Gorgeous.
Okay. That is very nice.
Yeah.
There it is.
It's not gorgeous.
It's a little... Those are plastic dowels.
Yeah, I get that, but...
Yeah, Mike, what we were discussing while you had stepped out is that my classic game, when I'm being younger than you, I only remember plastic dowels.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you're younger than I am. Right. Back in the 1800s, they had wooden dowels.
Were they ever made out of stone?
All right, which do you think is Carla's color and which is my color?
Oh, you're definitely red.
Absolutely, Mike is red.
Happy.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You want to take the dowels and I'll play with the board? Huh? Oh, that fell. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Carla.
Sorry about that. Thank you, honey.
I wonder how much
your workout.
You could actually commission somebody, Mike, an artist, to make you wooden dowels. There's some woodworkers in our audience.
It's so easy. If you would go to a Michael's and get a dowel rod and get the proper width, all you need to do is cut 16 and then paint them.
Yeah, but that's where we go sideways.
Geez. Look at that.
Oh, yeah. That stinks. Yeah, Mike, you could just take that and put it on the new board.
Yeah.
And then all is well in Mikeville.
Do you guys want to play? You want to play with
Sharks?
Who gets the highest?
Your proxy.
Who gets the highest today?
Yeah.
You know, hold on. I'm going to have to bring the camera.
Oscar, do you have any dice at your place?
I have no dice.
I have dice.
Can you see that, by the way?
Oh,
can
of
you
course.
See yeah. that? Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
All right. Who wants to go first?
I think, like when you're playing Texas Hold'em, I think the first spin should be just buried. So you do one now that doesn't count.
All right.
All right.
Five.
Okay.
Okay. Very good.
So you're seeing this. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're good.
All right. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
All right. Go ahead.
One, two, three, go.
Ooh, a four for Oscar.
Nice.
Ah,
Rob, your turn. Rob, your turn.
Show me a six.
Oh! Yes. Oh, my God. You jerk.
He never loses games.
You jerk store.
He never loses it. Now it's my turn.
No, just lose it life.
Here we go. And a two.
Two.
Here we go. F you, Rob.
All right. Highest number wins.
God, no, lowest number wins.
Oh, really?
Mike wins. Yeah.
No, that's not the lowest number wins.
Let's keep him in a good mood.
No, all that means I get to move a pawn out.
There's your eBay look. There's your cheesy little.
Leave him a bad review, Mike.
Really
burn him.
Yeah.
I will. I think I will. I'll show that.
And you know what you should do? If you can still do like a little headline for a review, put trouble, ? Absolutely.
But, you know, still whiling away the hours. And I'm still on my hunt to get the game that's really above. But there's not going to be a hardy trouble board. And I remember it being hardier, but it wasn't. It was cardboard when I was a kid.
Maybe the Franklin Mint has one. Like high-end.
See, that's you know what? How they do Monopoly?
They do Monopoly gold pieces. Yeah.
See, I would love. Yeah. I think you could do a lot of things with trouble. You could make it electronic. Yeah. You use drones, wheels, pulleys,
system
of hydraulics.
The thing that would be modernized would ruin it for you, because what you crave is Pop-O-Matic technology. You can't simulate Pop-O-Matic. That.
Yeah,
you can't simulate that.
I love Pop. Thank you. Thank you, Vanna.
But if you had pawns.
Yes, you could go work out.
If you had pawns, say, of gold and bronze and steel and maybe even like pewter.
By the way,
a beautiful all metal trouble board.
I was thinking about Rob Spiewak during Carla. Carla works out to videos that she's got on an iPad, and she does it. And all these instructors have the same kind of pattern. You know, and it's just like, and I was thinking about Rob and the voice. Oh. As a matter of fact, not why I was thinking about Rob. I was thinking about Rob because at the Cocoonville National Trump Acres, there is a significant middle-aged female population of golfers.
Oh, okay.
And how do I say this delicately? There is a vocal register that one hears when they are on the golf course, and you can hear them throughout the entire course. And I was thinking of you, Rob, because you over the years have cultivated a very generic impression of
I was going to say, I have never been to your new home, and I've never been to your golf club, but I would like to, using nothing more than the power of intuition and ESP, present to you what you may hear.
All right.
When you are at your golf club.
So I'm on the first tee, and there's a green, maybe one or two over.
Mm-hmm.
And I am about to pull the club back, and I hear a conversation, and it goes something like this.
Par three. It's red tees. Drink.
Sounds exactly. He must have been there.
Bottle of wine.
Jesus Christ.
Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, play bunko. Bunko. Pop-O-Matic bulb.
And scene.
Nice work.
Yeah, that's it.
As we get older and lose our hearing, that we still hear. Somehow it surpasses it all.
Just, you know. And then down here, after I was with my mates yesterday, everybody was, they reopened the Cocoonville Clubhouse.
Oh,
everybody said, hey, we're going in to have a beer. And I said, enjoy yourselves.
Wow.
Bye-bye. It's where I stepped off. And, of course, I got the look.
Yeah. Do they mask up in the clubhouse?
There he goes, being smart.
Now, obviously, there are rules and regulations that you follow on the course, but when they go inside to the clubhouse, do they mask up? Is there social
distancing? Hey, guess
what? What do you say?
I won't be able to tell you that because I didn't even go inside.
I thought maybe you'd look in the window like a street urchin.
They go out on the porch. They go out on the porch. I'll sit with them. If it's outside, I'll sit with them. Ain't going to go in the enclosed space right now. Little too early for that. Not 100% sure that's going to be working for me right now. Really not sure, you know, because I'm not really sure that I can trust people that are probably really excited about the president standing in front of a church with a Bible yesterday. Mm. I'm really, really not sure in our nation's capital, which, by the way, we will get to. Oscar and I had a little exchange about that. It is a strange day, and it was a very, very strange day in the nation's capital yesterday. But I urge Americans all over, if you are like me and this inundation of news coverage from all these cities all over the fruited plain gets you a little down and discouraged and you feel like our country is a bit rudderless right now and that causes a great deal of despair with the constant news, just, call the Parker Brothers Company. I'm giving them a free plug right here. Go grab yourself some trouble. But you have to get a wife that really wants to beat your brains in.
Sure.
You know, by the way, and Carla's signature move is when she catches one of my trouble pawns on the board and knocks me out of the game and I have to go back to home base, her line is, bye. Bye.
You know, that's a callback to another great Parker Brothers game. Remember the game Sorry?
Oh,
and
you
can send people back, and they go, in the commercial, sorry.
Have it.
You have sorry?
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah, but the one, look, when the pandemic began and we were sheltering at home, we all, we acquired some board games, and the one that didn't hold up, Battleship, didn't care for it.
Yeah, sorry to hear about that.
Battleship better when I was a little kid, not too good now. Doesn't work for me.
That's when
we
had imaginations. We're like, this is just plastic. And that's
awesome. Yeah, we envision on the other side of that board the Pacific Theater with heavy guns blasting Guadalcanal and everything like that.
It's so great. They've been marketing Battleship for 50 years and they've never used the word Pacific Theater.
Yeah, the Pacific Theater. The Pacific Theater.
That's awesome.
So, that's my contribution to the American psyche today. If things are getting you down, get a board game. And did you hear that?
I just
heard the collective audience go, F you, Mike O'Mara.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I know you, don't I? I'm usually very good with names, but I'll be damned if I haven't forgotten yours.
You stole my cab.
I've never stolen anything in my life.
I hailed a cab on Park Avenue this afternoon, and before I could get in it, you stole it.
You're the guy who tried to get my cab. I knew you, yeah. You scared the bejesus out of me. Come to think of it, it was awful easy to get a cab during rush hour.
Forget it.
I can't forget it. I am sorry. I had no idea that was your cab. Let me make it up to you somehow, huh, please? How about a nice hot dog and a beer?
No thanks.
Just a hot dog, then.
I'm kind of picky about what I eat.
Some coffee?
No.
Milk?
No.
Soda?
No.
Some tea?
No.
Lifesavers?
No.
Slurpee?
Sir, please.
Just let me know. I'm here. I knew you.
Del. Oh. Oh. Why did you kiss my ear? Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Mm-hmm. Those aren't pillows.
Oh! Oh!
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game. Bears got a great team this year. They're going to go all the way.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our very interesting nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now, heard all over Cushing, Oklahoma, Yerington, Nevada, Southern Shores, North Carolina, Beverly Hills, California.
Ooh la la!
Love to know where that one came from. Flower Mound, Texas, and Nha Trang, Vietnam. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Cornerstone. As things slowly start to reopen, we're seeing signs of stabilization in the housing and mortgage market, so it's more important than ever to work with a friend you can trust, and I trust the team at Cornerstone First Financial. I know Oscar trusts the team as well.
Absolutely.
We both did business with them, and they were great to work with. I really don't know if the process of getting a loan could have been easier than working with Cornerstone. Mm-hmm. And I mean that sincerely. As we adapt to new normal, Cornerstone has emerged as a leader by educating our listeners, not selling them. Their low rate guarantee and the fact that they are a lender and a broker allows them to have all the programs available, and a retail bank can't do that. Call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial today, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Interest rates on 30-year fixed have fallen into the twos for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I might have to be calling them again.
Sure. Then. Never hurts to keep in touch with them, Mike.
Wow. Cornerstone First will put your home's value to work for you. The twos.
Twos.
Wow. That's fantastic news, by the way, for
huge.
All you're thinking about doing. That was quick. You know, I sometimes base my market knowledge on these commercials that get written every week.
A pandemic will do that to an economy.
I guess so. Yeah. Cornerstone First will be there, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. So, strange day. I was live yesterday evening, right around 6:30 or so, and I'm watching the news and watching the streets of D.C., which were filled with some people that were protesting, but nothing really out of the ordinary. No. And then slowly, but surely, they started pouring in law enforcement and military and people in protective gear and these waves of paramilitary and police coming into the area over near Lafayette Square. And I was stunned. And about that time, Oscar and I were communicating about something. I forgot what it was. And then, I said, are you looking at this? You know, because Oscar is living downtown D.C. And that's when it all happened.
My one-word response was Jesus. And So just for a little background, Shannon and I were at work, and we got an emergency alert on our phone.
Oh, that's what you sent me.
Yeah,
texted me that. That's right.
Oh, okay.
Said, there's a 7 p.m. curfew, no exceptions. Get home. And this is what's weird is that I drove like the block that showed the. What was M Street like a full of stores and vibrant at one point, now just shuttered. My mentality was like, it's just stuff. Like, as long as no one got hurt, it's all that stuff can be replaced.
Right.
I was upset, but overall, like I said, the next day you see people helping clean up, young and old, not just from the neighborhood. So that warmed the heart where you're like, okay, we're in this together.
Right.
And then, we're at work, and if you do live in one of these cities, you know this. Like CVS closed down all their stores across
drugstore
in the cities where these riots were happening. So if you walk to CVS, I completely had forgotten that. That's how like oblivious I was, even though I read about it. And now, like, you turn the corner to walk into CVS, and it's closed.
Yeah, because of the situation.
Yeah,
of the text you got that you sent me was emergency alert. Mayor Bowser extending the curfew for the District of Columbia. For Monday, June 1st and Tuesday, June 2nd, curfew starts each night at 7 p.m. until 6 a.m. the next morning. The reason I share stuff like this.
What time did that curfew get issued? I'm curious because
I didn't check my. I think it came in around, I wouldn't say 4:30 because I.
So relatively,
but
relatively late. Yeah,
I didn't see it until 6:30. So that it really. I would say 6:15-ish. Didn't get home to 6:30. I live right around the corner, so I wasn't that concerned. But it startled me. And this is after I was telling Shannon, I was like, look, we're going to be fine. CVS is closed across the country, because that disturbed her. She's like, a place that's open 24 hours all the time, and right. they're open in the middle of the pandemic, it's closed now. And then she's, and my Shannon, to her credit, she said, go tell the cleaning lady upstairs. She rides the bus.
Oh, that's like, right.
She needs to get out of here. And so I went up, because I speak Spanish, went up there and told her Spanish. She's like, oh my God, she dropped everything. She's got to catch a bus home.
It's so strange. Like, it's so strange. And, it's just odd.
And there's a thing called toque de queda that I grew up with, and my parents would always talk about it in Latin America, where it was like a military curfew. That's
right.
That's what it was, right? In Bolivia. And so they're so used to like having curfews. My parents that
strong arm dictators.
Yeah, and in an unstable country, third world mm-hmm. countries,
martial
yeah.
law.
And yep. as I'm telling Mike, we're home safe and sound. He said, turn on CNN.
And then look, he writes Jesus to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, because I'm seeing what's happening. These are peaceful protesters. These are people that are, you can tell, are just making a statement. Like this entire city is built on people marching.
Yes,
absolutely. Like,
they let white supremacists march on these streets.
Yeah, and the thing is... we knew about the curfews. There are curfews everywhere, yeah. and they're
right.
They're not adhered to. They're not. I'm sorry. That's the reality of it. They're not. It's just not. It's known that you'll have a curfew, and if you get out of line, you're going to get arrested, probably easier than you would prior to the curfew. But this was well within the curfew time of 7 p.m.,
yeah,
and suddenly I'm watching that. It. I watched it live.
Real
and
time.
I watched this, and you see the police officers run towards the line of peaceful protesters with their shields. They begin shoving them. One guy, saw a replay today of it, took the baton to one of the peaceful protesters, and she ran forward mm-hmm. after being hit with the baton. And what I posted on Facebook, I said, you know, you don't know when you're dealing with a crowd what's going to happen, who's going to wig out, what might happen, that one of these law officers might be hurt because yeah. something happens, because it they insist. So I'm like, well, there didn't seem to be a legitimate reason.
There was
are they doing that because of the curfew? There's no way of the curfew.
I wrote Jesus because I didn't understand, because the curfew, it was not 7 p.m. yet. These people were peaceful, and they were being, like, essentially just manhandled, for lack right. of a better term, out of that small area, and it didn't make any sense.
Let me throw this in, Oscar, because I was watching it all live, and immediately prior to this, as the troops were gathering around the White House in Lafayette Square, Attorney General, is it Bob Barr? William Barr was out there. He didn't have a tie on, and he was sitting there, and he's talking to these security guys, and he's like looking, overseeing, and it was an odd moment. Like, what's he doing? What's the point? Why are you going down there so close to everything? And he's pointing, and he's doing this, and all he's looking in different directions. But it was just, they kept the camera on him, mm-hmm. and nobody really knew what was going on. And then a short time after that, we all knew what was going on.
It came all together.
That we were being played. We all knew that Mr. Brave was going to walk across the street. There he is, William Barr, that was going to walk across the street
mm-hmm.
to stand.
It was the like, it was
if you
the
don't laugh,
dumbest.
You cry sometimes. To
right.
stand in front of a boarded up church. Just stand there out on the little billboard where they put the Sunday service information
right.
on and hold up a Bible.
I follow a comic on Instagram.
They moved like, it was amazing. It was, I've never seen anything like it.
So just for context.
Right.
These protesters were forcibly removed from where they were peacefully protesting legally. So the president of the United States could have a photo op.
Yep.
There's no other explanation because
None.
He did it right afterwards, and he's walking, and there, I mean, I'm thinking of the manpower of the amount of people that were there.
The amount of risk. The amount of risk.
I have one question. I had one question coming into today's show that I wanted to ask you, Oscar, because you live there. I know you basically have a podcast village to your house, but I know you also grab a meal every now and then.
Yeah, yeah,
what are you hearing in because my feeling would be that the day after this, that if he's trying to flex his muscle, that I would think the people that were in the streets are going to be in the streets again today.
Well,
that's what I would think.
No one's happy. The feeling is, and I can best describe it as, it's a similar feeling. Mike, I think it's mourning.
Yeah,
it's not of unrest. It is mourning.
I had some tears in my eyes yesterday watching.
There is that heavy, like, air and I can only remember one other time in my life. It was the day after his election. What that heavy air where everybody's like saying, like, kind of seeing each other and being like, I can't believe this is happening.
Right.
No one.
Nobody wants
myself
this.
Included. No one felt that we would be living in a world like this. We didn't think that this would be happening. You know, the role, and you've heard it again, I don't want to repeat what everybody's saying, but the role of the leadership of this country is to ask and request calm, and there's no way you can fight against the mob. You know, if you're not going to shoot people to death, you're going to have, this is a nation that is based on free speech and protesting, and I think that the big question regarding cities all over America will be, well, in specifically Washington, D.C., where you live, will be, what is the blowback today? What's going to happen today when people feel that they were manhandled yesterday, so that, and by the way, it was an empty photo op.
Yeah.
The symbolism was God and country, law and order, some of these old principles that a lot of people in power have used to keep the man down. I mean, that's really
smokescreen stuff.
Really,
it's smokescreen stuff. And
but it was also bully stuff. It was little man.
Yeah.
Does he really think in his mind that he came across as a brave man when riot police in the streets shoved people that were not being violent down to the ground and pushed them out of the way and used tear gas?
Does he think maybe we weren't going to see what, you know, preceded his empty gesture?
I would believe. I'm hoping that even the staunchest supporter in the past would see that and say, "Yeah, I can't do this again."
Yeah, I saw on Instagram a comic said the only takeaway from the entire event is the man has never held a book in his life.
Yeah, how because of the way. Was that? Like, was he like?
He went across. Then he went back across the street. It was over.
Yeah,
and the church was boarded up. He didn't go into the church.
No. He just got picture taken.
You think someone forgot to tell him that the church was boarded up?
I think the church was accessible. From what I heard this morning, watching the news shows.
It's close,
but
yeah.
It is, it's surreal, but with that surrealness, there is also a feeling of anxiety now that I think we are, you know, when you get on a conference call with a bunch of governors and you're telling them you're weak, you need to be stronger, it's like that.
He used the word jerks. Used the word jerks. Ostensibly the most powerful man in the world. Is calling the governors jerks. Mike, we should be better than
that. You know that show Veep?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think Rob and I, I'm not sure if you got into it, but we love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing was out of like one of the scripts from Veep, mm-hmm. where she constantly would walk around and do the dumbest things and like play it off. When the president walked across the street, I said, where? Oh, he's going to go take a knee. He's going to do taking a knee would be even more powerful.
Taking a knee would be stunning.
Oh my! It would have been like, okay. There's somebody thought about this,
right?
And when he walked over there and ham-handedly picked up a Bible, and he didn't know if it was the right book or not, it felt like he didn't know what he was holding.
Right.
And he just held it up like this. He's like he was selling them. Like it was it was the weirdest thing in the world.
The only way it could have been better is if he had pointed at it and said, Bible.
Yeah, because they didn't get one that said Holy Bible in red or gold lettering that would pop off onto camera.
Exactly.
Horrible. Neon that would be lit.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it is,
I didn't get a chance to follow it, Mike. Your Facebook post was actually when I saw your post, it drove me to CNN right away because I didn't have the TV on. And as I watched it, and as I watched it, and as I watched it, the thing that broke my heart.
What were you
heart,
watching? Just out of curiosity. Yeah. I knew you were watching TV.
No, I was on the computer. I wasn't watching TV.
Oh, what were you doing? Posting your album covers?
Maybe posting album covers. I was doing some stuff.
Were you doing the album cover challenge? How that's a challenge, I don't know. A challenge is like running a marathon. A challenge is like...
A challenge is also when someone, you know, like dares you to do something. I challenge you.
But then
you to
why
do
is
that.
It a dare? Can we talk about this when we come back? This
absolutely,
album challenge
absolutely.
That I see that for some reason pisses
it's
me
perhaps,
off.
It's perhaps badly named, but it is enjoyable. But what I wanted to say
so much fun.
Is that watching now, all of this go
but
down.
You know, oh, Bob.
Dennis, when I was watching this and watching my kids watch it, and Robert, who is, you know, 6'4", low voice, comes off as a pretty mature, good kid, but I forget he's 17 and he's naive and he's not seen stuff like this. And when your son looks at you and says, can he do that? Mm. Why are they doing that? Why is this happening?
I think we're all asking that question.
And you know what? You take it down to that base level and you can't, and if you can't explain it, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to reset my board when we break, but it's the saddest thing because you can't explain why it's happening. And when he says, can he do it? I said, he's doing it. Mm-hmm. He's doing it. And can you guys cover for 1 second while I reset this board?
Yeah. That album challenge.
Oh, that is sad, I imagine.
We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about that. I will talk about a healthy food item that is now really in our kitchen every single day. And I think you're going to like it, especially you health nuts out there. We'll take a break. Come back with more on the Mike O'Meara Show.
There's now a new way for you to show your support for the Mike O'Meara Show with Facebook Stars. What is it?
A way where listeners can support the stream by buying stars and then donating as they will right to the show.
When you watch TMOS on Facebook, look for the star. Give it a tap and send as many as you want, all for just a penny a star. You can watch and give anytime.
Stay up late and watch the stars come out.
Each star helps the show and is an easy way for you to keep that comedy train chugging along.
The more stars, the more we stay on.
You got that right. Facebook Stars and TMOS. Give a little to laugh a lot.
You know what? Jim Amato's voice gives me a warm and fuzzy.
Yeah.
Jim Amato's voice, which is so unique, so completely comforting, I just always feel peaceful when I hear him.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that strange? I mean, because it's an unusual voice, and I just feel good. So, Jim, salute to you. I love your promos. Keep them coming. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by Noom. Crash diets are always temporary. If you want to keep those pounds off, you have to adjust your lifestyle. That's why I love Noom. Noom helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Noom teaches you why you do the things you do and gives you the tools you need to ditch bad habits and replace them with better ones. Noom is not a diet. It is a healthy and easy to stick to way of life. My favorite part, Noom has one of the biggest food databases available. You can track your food. That's so important. Ultra helpful when you are cooped up at home. It's the best. Oscar loves Noom. Carla's never looked better. Carla's just so healthy, and she uses Noom to assist her, especially with the food tracking. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/TMOS. You gonna love it. All right, so... speaking of food, I did want to mention this, that I have a new food. What I'm doing right now, because you follow my incredible changes in diet, I've done this keto thing for a while, and keto for me has been, what did you say?
We noticed.
Shut up. Why don't you just
I like when Mike stood in front of his house with a book that said keto.
Keto.
And nothing happened.
Nothing happened?
I look the same.
Carla, go clear the streets. I'm going out with my keto book.
I'm going to say that what I'm doing and what we're doing is not a diet. It is just a way of eating. And this was predicated by a book that I picked up recently called The Fat Burn Fix. And what this doctor, Dr. Kate, is saying on the Fatburn Fix that I think I am subscribing to is that there are oils in bad fats in a lot of the food that we eat. And getting those out of your diet and eating real foods can ultimately reduce inflammation, give you more of a sense of feeling full, and it's real eating. She contends that we have removed so much of the good fat out of our diet, but the bad fats, she calls them the hateful eight, these oils. Oh. Best example would be canola oil.
Okay.
That would be vegetable oils. Oils that are derived from processing and chemical extraction that do not do anything but sit in our bodies.
Coconut oil always gets a really bad rap. Is that among them?
You know what? Let me look up truffles? the
WD-40.
Yeah.
You know. You just calm down, okay, Bolivia? You just calm down.
Hey, he's
got
cheating
his resting
death on
bitch
a daily
face on today, and I'm worried. He always worries me when he's of the show that he's sitting there. This is my impression. This is a characterization of Oscar's face during today's show for most of it.
Scowl.
He's in a war zone. Give him a break.
I am giving him a break. I went to talk about his little city.
His little city. Yeah, that's
how dare you?
All right. I'm getting the thing.
Okay,
here.
You
just
get it.
Go ahead.
So I know, this is what I know, is that diets try to make fat food like appealing to people. Be like, if you eat this in moderation, like fatty food, right?
Then, you mean they tease you with what you can eat.
Yeah, you can. And then you're like, I know I can't do that.
You can have a third of a teaspoon of ice cream. Go crazy.
No moderation.
Yeah. For this lady. Hey, lady.
Hey.
This lady says that the book that we're reading right now, we're reading it together. I'm actually reading it at night to Garla out loud. Isn't that cute?
Does it lull her sweet. To bed?
Ding, 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 ding.
Do you use voices?
The problem with foods, this is her big thing.
Yeah.
All right. Is that
in at night?
Most Americans, that most Americans eat is the processed oils.
Yes.
And if you do a deep dive on that, it makes a bit of sense. By the way, I'm a big believer in health trends that they don't always translate. For God's sakes, when we were talking about the fat-free craze, that was all the rage several years back.
Olestra.
But the processed oils in which we cook them, specifically the eight seed oils she refers to as the hateful eight.
Okay.
They include canola, cottonseed, soy, sunflower, safflower, grape seed, and rice bran oils.
Isn't one of the things, Leonardo DiCaprio in the hateful eight?
That's a great movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty addicted to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, though. Boy, that's just so much fun.
That's a great
old Manson family people that they get to off at the end. Just fantastic. How about that dog, huh?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool, though?
Great dog.
Somebody breaks into your house and you go...
It's over.
But, I mean, it's...
There's some of that hateful eight oil in that dog food he feeds the dog, though.
Right. But it's all about that, and that's kind of what I'm doing right now. One of the things that's good, by the way, it's good on a lot of diets, but it is a fatty food, but it's something that's supposed to be good for you. Avocado.
Oh, yeah.
It always rears its head.
Fat.
Always rears its head.
In love with the avocado. The avocado is my friend.
I had it never worked out, but a meeting with avocados from Mexico about a podcast.
I'll do it.
That was 2 years ago. I think that ship has sailed.
Buenos noches. Me llamo Miguel. Yo estoy avocado. Siempre avocado. Buena suerte, avocado. Uno avocado, dos avocados. Yes, see. Wow, really?
Yeah. So I know a lot about avocados because you had to get educated on
them. Sure.
They're so good. They really are. They're so yummy.
So what do you have? A little salt on there, sugar? What do you put on them?
Carla every morning now has taken to whipping up some avocado toast. And it's
that's
this
very millennial of you.
Mike,
very millennial of
welcome
you.
Welcome to 2020.
Yes. Yeah. I know. Well, you know, I mean, I know avocado toast has been around for a couple of decades.
Yeah, but
this is really, it's just so
you're not officially in the avocado toast family until you put that on your Instagram. So you got to take a picture of your avocado toast.
Exactly.
Throw it up on Facebook.
I'll make sure Carla starts posting some of the pictures of her avocado. We got Florida avocados this morning.
Oh.
Bigger. They're bigger. They're bigger than the Mexican avocados.
And they're orange, right?
Yeah, they're orange with a Miami Dolphin on the cover. That's what they have.
On the cover.
But they're sure yummy. And I love them. I love them. The mayonnaise. Carla made homemade mayo, and without any of these,
what oil was her base for her mayo? Would
you avocado
use
oil?
Avocado oil.
Now, olive oil is one of the good oils, right?
Right.
So, this was not light. This was extra virgin olive oil, but the heavy olive oil, I think, I don't know. There's so many ways.
Well,
I don't know my olive oil.
I believe that regular olive oil is heavier and less pure. And
it
the
was
EVO
regular olive oil.
I know there's a difference. There's a difference.
I'm going to make mayonnaise. With regular olive oil. And so she goes through this process, and I'm doing the stirring. I've got the I'm doing the whisking, right?
Ooh,
and so we get done, and it's got a little slightly green color, but it's looking okay. And then it's time, and she goes, "Okay, I put the little egg yolks in there.
Sure.
I put a little vinegar, and now we've got the whipped up oil, and you're emulsifying the oil." And then I take it, and she goes, "Okay, let's taste this olive oil mayonnaise." And I'm give me where's my saffron oil? Where's my cottonseed oil? And by the way they describe these oils is this incredibly violent smashing of these oils to get you look at a cottonseed and you'll say, that doesn't look like it's going to produce a lot of oil. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. Not like like an olive.
Sure.
Where you squish an olive and there you go. Bingo, you got oil. This is the processing. And by the way, I believe it.
Okay.
I'm on board that part of the problems that we have in this country are processed foods.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. You can go keto, you can go vegetarian, but real food is that. Now, the only time you have showed any joy whatsoever is because you wish to mock me.
No, by your demeanor the idea that you're buying into the problem that we have in this country is processed foods now at age 60, like that. That's
because I'm 60. Just throw me on the scrap heap, Oscar. Just throw me away. Now that you're 60, are you finally? I was raised during the process.
He's the child of processed foods.
I'm
truly
a child of processed foods, okay?
Yeah.
I am a child of Pop-Tarts. I am a child of Tony the Tiger. Do you understand that? For the love of Christ, that's it.
All right, Oscar,
damn it,
his household was built on Wonder Bread and Kraft singles.
Go out and loot tonight. That's what I think you should do.
Go steal Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, steal Pop-Tarts. There seems to be a man down by the grocery store with a brick in his hand. We'll take a break and come back with whatever right here. He's just sitting there smirking me. It's the only time he smiled all day. We'll be right back.
Joy. Look at you.
Hello, my friends. This is Arnold Schwarzenegger. Haben Sie Uber about the coronavirus? Das ist crazy.
Crazy.
So, I want to offer some advice because we need to protect senior citizens like your Großmutter und your Großvater, die Kinder, and each other. Hopefully, we can flatten the curve in time for Christmas so we can celebrate around the Tannenbaum and enjoy the presents and eat the Schwarzwaldkirschtorte and things. To do this, we must social distance, which is hard. I have to eat my own schnitzel at home because the restaurants are closed and stuff. No one is allowed to pet my miniature horse. And I can't make love to my housekeeper if I'm 6 feet away. This Max teed me so angry. Arr! But you can protect yourself by shopping at the TMOS shopping center at MikeRomeroShow.com, Target and Walmart. Remember, we must obey the rules and we can beat the corona. Okay? Good. Es ist bad disease, but at least it's not a tumor. Dankeschön.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Legacy Box. Don't you think it's time to watch something that's actually meaningful? There's so much bad stuff out there.
Horrible.
It'll wear you out. How about home movies of mom and dad from way back when?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you check out Legacy Box? It is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your home movies and pictures preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. You know what's better than listening to Jim Amato's promos that make me feel all warm and fuzzy?
What's that?
Seeing my little girls when they were tiny.
Aww. Yes.
And toddling around. It's fantastic. Legacy Box is the way for you to preserve your past, and you can do it from your home. It's so easy. You pack, you send. Legacy Box converts everything by hand, and then you enjoy. It's the world's largest digitizer of home movies and photos, and has helped over 750,000 families preserve their past, including the O'Maras, the Spiewaks, and the Santanas.
Mm-hmm.
I got old home videos put on a thumb drive. By the way, my old ones, I had to stand in front of a current video camera, and you know, it was that deck of cards that has the moving
book.
Image. From the 1800s.
Yeah. All of Mike's home movies are a fly wow. buzzing around a man. That's all it yeah. is.
To brighten your day, Legacy Box is currently offering an incredible 40% off sale. Prices start at just $34.99. Buy today to take advantage of this exclusive offer and send in your box when you're ready. Get started preserving your past today. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS and save 40% while supplies last. Buy today to take advantage of this exclusive offer, then send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS and save 40% while supplies last. Yes, you should be aware of the fact that I am a child of processed food. My mom...
Convenience.
You know,
convenience. Follow World
late
War
50s II. Yeah. Through the 60s is when moms in the kitchens, everything became convenient.
They started leaving the kitchen?
And they weren't leaving the kitchen. They were in the kitchen enjoying mass-produced processed foodstuffs. Pillsbury, as opposed to making baked goods from scratch, they started getting convenient stuff in your grocer's freezer, you know?
Now, Oscar, you know, we make a lot of fun of it around Christmas time when we do those craft recipes,
mm-hmm.
but the craft recipes and all the companies were putting those recipes out, convenient ways to sell their processed foods.
Oh.
For example, the Tres Leches cake does not have a rich Mexican heritage. It was invented by American chemists to sell evaporated milk and then marketed as a Mexican traditional dessert.
I love evaporated milk.
Well, but you have to make sure it's not totally evaporated.
No, I honestly, my mom would always send me to the grocery store to pick up evaporated milk.
Because it's gone, right? If it's totally evaporated.
Hey, Ma, I opened this can. There ain't no milk at all in it.
You made a joke. Yeah.
But it is.
Food processing and the timeline of... of food, but it goes back.
I thought
we've been processing food for a million years.
Because I thought processed food meant it wasn't fresh food. It was like
it isn't.
No, yeah. That's partially the
processed
part.
Processed food, by much of processing of food requires putting something in there that will preserve it, shelf for a long period of time. Everything, by the way, this is new, relatively new, but since we're really doing, for example. And I know people get, you can mock me all you want, but we've got a particular grain that doesn't have all the bad oils in it that that is this bread. There are two versions of it. There's organic and non-organic. It's night and day. It's
Does
not even close.
Organic taste better?
Oh, superior,
oh my God,
by
yes.
in every way.
I've never had organic
superior.
Bread.
Full-fat yogurt. What do we eat? We eat almost exclusively low-fat and non-fat
light
yogurt.
Non-fat,
yeah.
Light yogurt. That's what we've been conditioned to eat. Try the full-fat. By the way, you can have a little half a cup of the full fat that'll make you feel it feels like you're not eating chemicals.
Damn,
that's
like jumping back 100 years.
Your wife knows all about this stuff.
She doesn't eat very much, and like I don't like. She works out a lot, but I, for example, I ordered a burrito from District Taco. I was like, would you like a burrito? I'll buy and they'll deliver. And she looked at me, she said, I don't want the 1,000-calorie burrito. I said, who says it has 1,000? When did you look it up? Who knows what they have? It's all fresh food. And she said, it's fresh. You're right. But I get the Caesar one, Mike, with the Caesar dressing.
Caesar salad is because of the dress. Oh, salad dressings, okay. One of the biggest culprits. And salad dressings
are all oil-based, right? Because they're all oil-based.
Yeah, but salad dressing is also one of the easiest things to make on your own. I'm saying this because I've got a wife that does it, thank God. But I mean, I wouldn't
do it. All you need is a wife.
No, like a bottled... Go get... Rob, what do you have? How far is it for you to get up to your refrigerator?
Up one flight. I can do it in a second.
One flight. Go get a salad dressing that's in your refrigerator.
Okay, back in a sec.
A bottle of salad dressing. Do you have salad? Oh, my God. I just realized we're asking
something
he puts on salad.
You know he's got blue cheese in there.
I would like him to read the ingredients on a bottle, on a bottle dressing. That's one of the big culprits with chemicals and preservatives and these bad oils.
I don't cook. I don't know enough about this, but this is appealing.
It's easy to think about taste in terms of pleasure.
Thank you.
That was quite the drop. Hey, Pony.
Sort of popped up.
How's your kimchi doing these days? How many oils are in that?
No oils. It's great.
Okay.
Very
Pony,
healthy.
Are you you're a smart guy. You track him with any of this right now as far as the preservatives and all that?
A little bit. I mean, look, preservatives are not great, but they're not necessarily horrible for you. I think the biggest problem is
All right. You're just you know, I don't want to hear from you. You know, you weigh 13
pounds. Too many calories.
He's right about calories, but there are good calories and bad calories. That's the way I look at it. All right, what do we have?
All right, this is what I have. I don't know if it counts. It's Hershey's Genuine Chocolate Flavored Syrup.
That's Rob Salad Dressing.
That's the funniest moment of the month
right there. That is the best. That's the best I can.
No, wait. But wait. I do have this. I have a jar of...
Don't rush it. Let me enjoy that for a minute. Oh, Jesus Christ. You got me with that one. Hershey's. That's chocolate syrup.
It's great. Great on iceberg. A nice wedge salad with chocolate.
What kind of dressings do the Spiewaks... Oh, Marie's.
Blue cheese.
Chunky blue cheese.
That probably has less of the preservatives in there. What's in the ingredient pack?
Low cholesterol.
It's, God, where are the ingredients? Hold on. My eyes are the worst. I swear to God, I can't.
Why don't you take your glasses and use as a magnifying glass?
Is that how you do it?
No, you know what I have to do? Here's what I have to do. I have to take a picture of it and blow it up. I do this with like a...
Your eyes are get a new prescription. I thought you had glasses for a reason.
I do. But hold on. This I can do.
No wonder he hits the buttons the wrong way.
He can't see. I didn't know you were blind.
It comes from years and years of soybean oil, cultured buttermilk, blue cheese.
Let me see where the hateful eight are.
I think soybean oil was one of the bad ones, wasn't it?
I think so.
I thought soy was supposed to be good for you.
Wait. I want to do this right. Since we're taking the time, let me just do this correctly. And let's see. Okay, go ahead, Rob. I'm going to give you the ding for all the bad oils. All right? Lay them on us. All right?
Soybean oil, non-GMO. That's good? Okay?
That's processed oil.
Oh, okay. Cultured non-fat buttermilk.
All right. That's okay.
Well, I would think maybe... Non-fat. No, because non-fat it's non-fat.
Is,
yeah.
Is sugar. Blue cheese. By the way, sugar's the other bad thing.
Okay. Blue cheese is in it.
Yeah.
Full-fat sour cream, it looks like.
That's good.
Egg yolks.
That's fine.
Vinegar.
That's fine.
Garlic.
That's fine.
Salt.
Yeah.
Mustard.
Yeah.
Xanthan gum. And Mike.
Yeah.
A little bit of love.
Okay. There you go. You
got gross.
You're not. That is not as bad as some of the stuff you would.
However, you know what? It's not a complicated recipe. There, if I were to substitute a better oil, it would be very good.
Oh. Yeah, and the sugar that's in it too, based on the low fat that's involved. Okay. There's our health corner for today.
Yeah,
Thank
I think
you
we
very
all
much.
Learned something.
Yeah, next time, Rob, when I send you up to the refrigerator, bring down a Wishbone product for God's sake, please.
Sorry, buddy.
All right. But the Hershey's here made it all worthwhile. Yeah. We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show.
City Slicker. Hi, this is Cam Sinison, and I want to have a little heart to heart. If you're thinking about just listening to the Free Daily Show and not bothering to buy a bonus show subscription, don't do it! Ow! Ow! Mike, Rob, and Oscar depend on that money! You leech! Stop sucking! Ow! So if you don't want a crazy guy yelling at you, you should really buy that bonus subscription. And if you don't, well, then I'll be haunting you day and night. And you don't want that.
Thank you, Sam. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Shopping Center. Coronavirus update. Over the weekend, as things begin to normalize in the United Kingdom, Queen Elizabeth made her first appearance since the COVID pandemic began. Surprisingly, she was at a T-Mobile store from 1 to 3 p.m. on Saturday, handing out Buckingham Palace bumper stickers and registering customers to win the Royal Power Porsche. I've done those remotes. Jesus. Also, Pier 1 Imports has announced that it's going out of business, citing the coronavirus as the reason. They plan to be totally shuttered by October, which gives you plenty of time to buy furniture now and still return it when it falls apart in July. And there is talk of voting by mail for the presidential election this fall. Americans were able to vote in person during the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918, but there was low voter turnout that year, on which Bernie Sanders still blames his loss. Luckily, shopping through the mail is always great. You can get things from Target and Walmart safely from home. Hit up MikeOmeraShow.com, and the banner is right there. Click it, and you're off to the races. Instant access to Target and Walmart. Trust me, if they don't have it, you don't need it. Just make sure that you access them through our banner, the TMOS Shopping Center. Shop from home and help us out. You see, Bernie Sanders is very old. You see?
Yes, yes.
That's the joke. That's why he was running for office in 1918.
Right.
Am I over? Yeah, I'm over.
Maybe. Okay, yeah. What?
News.
Thanks. News.
Boo. Thanks.
Would you go out to see the Queen at a cell phone store?
Oh, I'd run out there and see her.
I would too.
I'd love
yeah.
to do it. I'd wait in line. If they had like free donuts and balloons for the kids. George Clooney wrote an essay for the Daily Beast. And in it, he said, quote, "This is our pandemic. It infects all of us." And he was talking about racism. "In 400 years, we've yet to find a vaccine for it. It seems we've stopped even looking for one, and we just try to treat the wound on an individual basis. And we sure haven't done a very good job of that. As we're wondering what it's going to take to fix these seemingly insurmountable problems, just remember, we created these issues so we can fix them. And there's only one way in this country to bring lasting change, and that is to vote." I agree with him. I think he's absolutely true. Right. On the other side of the political spectrum, Rush Limbaugh appeared on the Breakfast Club radio show yesterday, and he said, quote, "It sickens me what happened to him. Legitimate national outrage about a policeman's criminal brutality has been hijacked, and I don't want to forget about George Floyd. It sickened me. I want to make sure you have no doubt, and I'm not the only American who feels this way, the senselessness of it." Mm. That's important to point out. Even with all the disparity between people saying those people in the street shouldn't be doing, there's an amazing amount of common ground here. That's why I put those two stories up front. There's an amazing amount of common ground with people on the right and the left who completely agree that what those police officers did was disgusting. And there's a complete amount of consensus on the left and the right that people that throw bricks into a store and then take out a store by burning it or looting it are wrong and they shouldn't do that. We're agreed on all this stuff.
Yes.
We're agreed. But when it comes to battling the core issue that's causing people to go into the street, the systemic racism in the country, we're much more divided on that. And that is the problem that has to be solved. That's the way I look at it. You know, drop me a letter if you agree or disagree. Whether there's baseball or not this year depends a lot on the players and if they're willing to play during the pandemic. So could this get us there? The Players Union is now pushing for a 114-game season that would start June 30th. A normal season is 162 games, but they want all players to be able to opt out if they think it's unsafe, and some of them would still get paid. Players with a with health issues or high-risk family members could opt out and still get a paycheck, which wasn't in the owner's proposal. Anyone else would forfeit their salary. Another sticking point is the number of games. Last month, team owners pushed for an 82-game season and claimed anything beyond that would be too expensive without live fans buying tickets. Sounds like they're pretty close.
I think, though, at the end of the day, Mike, these baseball organizations are worth billions of dollars.
Yeah.
That, like, the idea that the players have to take a pay cut for a corporation that is cash flow positive, even at the smallest, like the smallest degree, the poorest teams are still making money.
Right,
like, they still have the money to pay their players.
That's the way it looks, and I think that, you know, if we continue, look, the data is unclear as to between hotspots and places that it's diminishing. We still don't know, and we also don't know about the fall and a second wave that you're hearing about. Don't know whether that's true or not.
Right.
I don't know. Nobody knows what to.
Nobody knows anything.
Unfortunately, the deal probably won't happen. Even as the players expect owners to reject it, they're hoping it leads to a compromise. If the deal did go through, here's what a 114-game season would look like. The regular season would run from June 30th to October 31st. The All-Star game would happen during or... You don't need the All-Star game, okay? You don't really need that.
Yeah, scratch it. No one cares.
Right? And the World Series would potentially happen after Thanksgiving. Which is kind of interesting.
Wow. This is going to be
great. How about during Thanksgiving?
Oh, I'd love it.
Wouldn't that be fun?
The Winter Classic.
But the big gorilla, the elephant in the room, you've got the NFL.
Oh, I don't know. Put it up against the Detroit game. I bet they win.
World Series against it would win. Absolutely. 2,000 people were asked to name the least shareable things in life. I bring this up because of using my wife's
toothbrush
on our road trip. This is stuff you might not even share with your significant other. Here are the top 10. Number 10, T-shirts. Oh, I constantly share T-shirts with
Carla.
If
we could fit each other's shirts,
All right, so that gets... I'm
sorry. Not wearing hers.
I disagree with breathe. That one.
I'd love Carla's, to see it, though.
You know, it'd be like the Incredible Hulk.
Right there. At one point, it would just become transparent.
And wet.
Yes. Oh, I hope so.
You. Number 9, towels. I've shared towels with him.
Yeah.
No, that's not true. Your bank account information.
Oh,
yes,
no.
Yes, I'm sorry. I share that.
No,
you don't?
Separate accounts.
You don't?
No. I make her look away when I log in.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Wow. Your phone password. Yeah, I know hers. She knows mine. Does she know your phone password?
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Everyone does. 212121.
All right. Well, no, that's wrong then, all right? Pajamas. First of all, I don't wear pajamas.
No,
I wear underwear.
Nude.
Yeah. That's okay. No. That's a...
So does Rob, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, we slept together.
Well, to be fair, when Oscar and I slept together, we were fully clothed because it was our first date.
Oh, this one applies to me too. Bathrooms. I have my own now, so I don't shower where she showers.
Yeah, I destroy ours. I'm like,
social media passwords. Do you share that with your significant others?
Mine's auto login, so I guess she has those. No big
deal. You can get at her.
I'm not giving her my Tinder. I'm not going to do that. That's not happening.
Right? Good for you, Mike. It's a secret.
Number 3. Razors, okay. We talked about when I discovered Carla with my Panasonic.
Take my Harry's.
You know, remember that? That's so. I guess that.
It's been a while, but I've caught her using mine, and it's not good because a leg dulls a razor somehow.
I believe it does. Yeah, it's a man's razor saying, "Don't do that to me."
No.
Number 2 is your toothbrush. You remember that one?
No,
and number 1 is your underwear. Has your wife ever worn your underwear?
Gross. No.
Oh, I see. No, I think like a woman, a beautiful woman in a pair of tidy whities is or boxers. It does. I think it's a sexy
thinking the
look.
Reverse, Mike. Sorry.
Oh, like you were. Yeah. Like you're wearing hers. Yes, sir.
Well, I didn't want to say anything, but Mike, I wasn't going to mention it, but it lifts and separates.
Oh, you're doing the man's ear.
Yeah, of course.
The Jerry Stiller man's ear.
You don't think this happens on its own, do you?
Oh, look at that. Perky. A new study at Arizona State University looked at whether people's dogs would rescue them if they were in trouble. You're dog owners. I'm a dog owner. And they had dog owners sit under a box, then call for help. And about 1 out of 3 dogs rescued them. That sounds low, but there's a catch. If the dogs knew how to get into the box through a special door in the side, they were 8 times more likely to try to rescue their
that's
owner.
Sweet.
Would Linus or Santos rescue either one of you
Santos
guys?
Santos would definitely rescue us.
No, Linus wouldn't. He'd be at the door, running around, parading.
Frankie would eat my corpse.
Yeah, yeah.
Eat my desiccated corpse after I was attacked by the jumping spider. It would be horrible. The dogs, by the way, in the study showed a lot of signs of stress.
Oh,
dog stress.
Stress during the foam coming out.
Well, you
of the
know,
mouth.
No, when dogs are stressed, they yawn. Did you know this?
Oh yeah, true story.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Beluga made his living doing that near me. Yeah. Daddy's home.
Gone anyway, too soon.
If you want your dog to save you, if you're in trouble, maybe run through a few practice scenarios. Yeah. Yeah, I'll get right on. Yeah.
Like, practice being in a box? When I'm in a box, you're not going to be able to save me because it'll be a coffin.
So stop, drop, and roll, right? That's
the
when
only
you catch
dog,
on fire.
Man, that dog in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that dog would save
you. Yeah, it's a good dog. Yeah.
Manson family's here. And now a little something, something. Ava, a toddler from Southfield, Michigan, and her restaurant, Ava's Kitchen, are going viral after her dad, Christoph Kyle, stopped by for a visit and gave it a less than stellar review. This is great. I love this story so much. The entrepreneur dad, who's a business owner himself, posted about his experience on Instagram. Christoph Kyle was dining with the 18-month-old at her establishment, at the restaurant. And when he reviewed it on Instagram, he didn't hold back. This is what his quote is.
Oh, this is the actual review.
So I tried to support another black-owned business for lunch today. So freaking funny. It's called Ava's. It's called Ava's Kitchen. Just opened end of April.
Just so beautiful.
And it's a very clean establishment. But who? Let me tell you about this owner. This is the post that he put up there. I've been waiting on my order to get done for 45 minutes. And I'm the only customer here. She was making good progress at first. Then she stopped for 20 minutes to go watch Paw Patrol.
Progress!
He says, overall, the customer service could be better. In the end, he decided the wait was worth it because the cook is a cutie pie. No funny lines today, just sharing some love and humor. We all need that in this pandemic, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take a break and come up with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here. He was a little Robert Palmer for you on WAVA. Dr. Dot, I had a martini with him one time.
Hi, I'm Pony. Do you like bonuses? How about shows? Well, how about a bonus show?
What a new promo.
I know. It's unreal. The Mike O'Mara bonus show. It's a thing, and you can buy it. So don't wait. Get it. Now. That's it.
Yep.
That's all.
Still.
Can't drive at night. Sweet promo, though.
That's all. That's
welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Facebook Stars. A penny for your thoughts? Sure, here goes. Stars, they're just like us. Ryan Seacrest is the president of his homeowners association. Chris Tucker has trouble folding a fitted sheet. And the leader of the free world has a secret bunker that he sometimes hides in. After he turns off all the lights, just like he's done handing out Halloween candy. You see the picture of the White House with the lights off?
Yeah.
Nobody home here.
Look away.
See, they're just like you. Those are showbiz stars. Frankly, I much prefer Facebook stars, and so should you. It's a super easy way to support TMOS while you're watching us on Facebook Live. To send stars while you're watching, simply click the star next to write a comment, then select how many stars you want to buy and give, and click send. Boom, that's it. That's how we make money for the show.
That's how you do it, yeah.
Every star puts a penny in our pocket. That adds up. Some real common sense.
Because it's CNTS. So,
yeah, please do it now. Shoot a few stars our way. Thank you. When you click upon a star, your dreams really do come through. And by the way, we're Facebook Live. You can see the show, right?
You can
do that if you subscribe. And you also can get the show on YouTube, right?
Yes.
At like 8 o'clock at night after we finish
on,
it. 9 o'clock in the morning.
The mayor's upload.
That's why I contacted Oscar yesterday, Rob. I want to say, what the hell is the show uploading at 5:47 in the afternoon when we're taping it at 9 o'clock in the morning? What the hell is the deal with that? Did you know about that?
I did, actually.
You did?
Yeah. We don't involve you in the minutiae of the show, Mike, when we talk to each other.
Well, you involve me when I see, I get the alerts as to when we post, okay? Yeah. So this guy's got his eyes on it, all right? Hey, come
on. Mike's response is like, LOL, the mayor's got slow upload.
Yeah, that made me laugh.
LOL. ROTF.
Couldn't help him when he responded. He said, Maddie's in Buffalo, and the mayor's family has slow internet. Like, okay. Yes, sir. We are a small business.
They're working on upgrading.
That's right. Exciting. Working on it. Yes. Cable guy. All right, let's get the audio.
Hot sauce on the modem. Mike, I'm curious. I know your favorite drummer of all time is Buddy Rich, but I am a big fan of a man who is celebrating his 79th birthday today. What is your take on Charlie Watts as a drummer? Because he's 79 now.
I don't care for Charlie Watts' style of drumming. It's just not, I don't like that he hits his little notes and then he lifts his hand to do almost like he's doing it like this. You know what I mean?
I think he's fun to watch because he appears to be effortless with the power that he delivers. There seems to be a good return because he doesn't ever seem to be like, you know, like a Motley Crue drummer like Tommy Lee out there really killing it, but he's still...
Well, you can't argue with the product. I mean, I think he's a good drummer. He's a good musician. He is.
And just a happy birthday to Charlie on his 79th. Just a little bit of Hang Fire. This is a pretty good drum record.
One of my favorite Stone songs. And their best album.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It just always, it always looked to me, and I've seen them live several times, like there has to be some sort of hocus pocus for the amount of effort he's putting out to get that kind of sound. But I guess he's just that
way. I disagree. I think Charlie Watts always looks like drumming comes harder to him than other drummers.
Well, he doesn't
like, I looked at it.
I know this for a fact. He's not a fan of rock music. He's a jazz guy. So when he's doing it, he's not doing his love. He's paying the bills. So his jazz records are pretty good.
There's so many. My drummer now, Rob, I don't think I even told you this. The drummer that I am in love with right now, and the name escapes me, but he's Stevie Wonder's drummer that Stevie tours with right now.
I know the
is
guy
it
you mean.
Stanley Randolph?
That
it's
makes
something
that,
Randolph.
That rings
I think
true.
The guy's
that
name
true.
Is Randolph.
Thank you.
He's fantastic. I love watching him. He's great.
That's very cool. That's very cool. Now, these every month they do news bloopers, and I like these because there was a hunk of them this month for May. So many people are broadcasting from home that they're having trouble with their pets. So here's a brief montage of what you're getting when you're watching your local news.
This news comes a day after an Oceanside city urged councilmen to open their doors despite county orders.
Dogs. This survivor and his wife. You guys, stop it. Seriously. You guys, stop. Stop it.
Hey, Dolly, come here. Dolly, come here right now. Sorry. My dog was going after one of the chickens, but all is well now.
Expect most of us dry. That goes for even the early evening. Murphy, I don't like this forecast either. Murphy. Hang in there, bud. So we really want to pay attention to as it is up around the Red River.
I can so relate because we're all in places where we have our pets, and when, you know, a bag is blowing down the street, all hell breaks loose.
Never happened to me.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
And, Chris Pratt got in a little set to with his son a couple days ago because his son saw on his phone that he has 51,000 unread emails. Mm. So something happened there.
My son was playing with my phone and he gasped in shock, looking at the number of unread emails. It's a lot. It's mostly junk. See, what I do is I sign up for everything. I'm one of those idiots.
Want to take an IQ test? Give me your email.
And then I do, which proves my IQ is about 7. And I just get junk from everyone, and I just don't erase it. But I also want to apologize, because there's a lot of emails in there. I just spaced out, and I didn't get back to you. If you're watching this and you're one of those people, I'm sorry, but I'm going to try to get back to you. I'm working on it right now. That's my goal for the next month. I'm going to do 1,000 emails a day, and I'm going to get it down to 0.
So, Mike, that's the reason Chris Pratt has not replied to you. He accidentally deleted 51,000 unread emails. It's so great when he says, do you want to know what your IQ is? Yep, 7.
7, thank you.
Stanley Randolph is correct.
Nice
Stanley
job.
Randolph. I'm glad I got it right. And I'm trying to think of the song.
Master Blaster Jammin'.
Nope.
Isn't
there's another
it?
One. Oh, God. I forgot what it was. I never remember. So my favorite Stevie Wonder. No, that's one of his other songs here.
Higher Ground.
Higher Ground, my favorite Stevie song, absolutely. Check
and
out
that
Stanley
And that was the
Rudolph
whitest version of Higher Ground ever. All right, and let's close with this. This is so great. A teacher sent out did a viral video. She said it was a song of inspiration to let people know how teachers are doing during the pandemic. And I don't think the anchors expected this. They cut to her, and it's a lovely teacher with a ukulele. And this is her song to inspire how teachers are dealing with the pandemic.
She wrote a song, and as inspiration, she was going to share what she's been going through and how it makes her feel while she is in isolation. Have a look.
Ah!
Just screaming.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I was not expecting that.
All right, so let's hear it for our teachers. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Be safe.
That's it. We got to get out of here. If you're one of the people in D.C. that's planning on peaceful protesting today, please be careful. Mm-hmm.
Please.
And be safe and take care of yourselves. And for those people that stand out in front of buildings that are preventing people from doing looting, God bless you as well. And I think the best way to do it is the way I saw someone in one of the cities in America that were holding up pictures of George Floyd because his family saying he would not be advocating this and he would not want this to happen as well. And but you have your right to get out there on the street and protest about anything you want. This is the United States of America. So get out there and exercise your First Amendment rights if you feel motivated. I don't know if I'm encouraging people to do that or not, but maybe I am.
Mike, you're encouraging people to be safe and to use their wisdom. And that's never bad advice.
And for the rest of you, enjoy those processed burgers today. You know, go ahead and do that with all the oils that I mentioned. That's it for Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara. What is it looks like a different kind of Hershey syrup.
Well, they changed the marketing. It's the same syrup as always, but now they're highlighting the fact that it only has 5 ingredients in it.
And
it's called Hershey's Simply 5.
Lunch is coming up. What will you be putting that on for your lunch today once we get off the air today?
Well, we discussed it yesterday, Mike. The tuna melt.
Thank you. That's a double right down the line. That's it. Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Golf's no different from hockey. Requires talent, self-discipline.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass. You should talk to my neighbor, the accountant, probably a great golfer, huge ass.
Oh, good for you!